You're a million miles from home, and it's the 4th of July. You're surrounded by strangers, and you sure miss the red, white, and blue. And then all at once, you spot an American face. Instantly, you feel a bond of unity, of connectedness. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melishenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth Richards with a big welcome and thank you for joining us here on the 4th of July. Lonnie and I and our whole Voice of Prophecy team want to let you know how much we appreciate you, especially as you've tuned in during this special holiday. We're going to be offering you a wonderful gift in a few moments. It's a Bible study experience that many, many mature and growing Christians absolutely love. It's entitled Discover, and I'll have all those details right at the close of our 15-minute program. Right now, though, let's return to Lonnie Melishenko and our 4th of July message, True Patriotism in a Bowl of Ice Cream.
Thank you, Kenneth. Well, today on the 4th of July, if you're an American, you're celebrating somewhere. But we still have this radio opportunity together, and I want to thank each of you for coming apart from the parades and the ice cream parties and the baseball games and fireworks for these few moments of biblical fellowship. I'm up in spectacular Banff, Alberta, Canada with Jeannie en route to some Voice of Prophecy speaking appointments. But here's a bit of trivia for you today. Say, did you know that it was 101 years ago today, on July 4, 1895, that America the Beautiful was first published? All this week we've been considering that particular patriotic song and asking ourselves the spiritual question. How do we as Christians relate to the unbeauty of our homeland, the sin and the selfishness and the secular aims of government? What do we do with an unbeautiful America, an unbeautiful Canada, or wherever you may call home on this planet? Well, friend, despite these concerns and issues that may grip a Christian, today still is the 4th of July, and all of us who are Americans want to pause in whatever we're doing and say to our Heavenly Father, Lord, despite its flaws and faults and frailties, we still love the United States of America. We still do love this country. Friend, do you agree with that? Thank God for the freedoms we have. Thank God that you can worship any way you choose, or not worship at all if that's your preference. I can appear here on Christian radio, and you can listen. If you change your mind, you can switch the dial to country music or John Philip Sousa tunes or punk rock or a propaganda program for Americans United with Atheism. That's your right, and I'm grateful to God that I have that right and that you have that right too. You know, there's something about being a citizen of a country that is very, very precious. Every American around the globe today feels a sense of unity. We're fellow Americans. Especially today, we're united by that red, white, and blue piece of cloth and our Constitution and Lady Liberty standing tall there in New York Harbor. Back in 1993, our writer David Smith was clear over in Moscow with a Christian team from the It Is Written television ministry and Pastor Mark Finley. And on the 4th of July, he found himself, guess where? In a McDonald's in downtown Moscow, a million miles from home, trying to capture a little feeling of America with some French fries and a hot fudge ice cream cone. And as David paid his rubles for the food and looked around at all the unfamiliar faces, all of a sudden, there was a team of U.S. baseball players from a high school in California. So, of course, there was an instant, unspoken bond between them. Here were fellow Americans, fellow citizens. Of course, David went right over to them and said, "Hey, you guys, happy 4th of July." "Oh, yeah," they said, shaking his hand. "You too." Even these high school athletes recognized that citizenship bonds us together. But friend, right now, on this red and white and blue day when the smell of firework smoke is in the air, let me appeal to your higher calling, your greater citizenship. You and I together, as children of the heavenly kingdom, have that same bond of connectedness, that same unity. On July 4 and every other day of the year, you know, we can look at each other across the aisles of McDonald's or across the aisle of church or even across the wide expanse of the surging Pacific Ocean and know that we're brothers and sisters with passports for that faraway land. I like what Philip Yancey writes in his recent bestseller, The Jesus I Never Knew. Listen to this, and I'm quoting, "The kingdom of God operates by a set of rules different from any earthly kingdom. God's kingdom has no geographical borders, no capital city, no parliament building, no royal trappings that you could see. Its followers live right among their enemies, not separated from them by a border fence or a wall. It lives and grows on the inside of human beings." I don't particularly want to focus today on the part where Yancey writes about living right among our enemies, although the Christian faith certainly has its determined opponents, as we know all too well. But today, on the 4th of July, 1996, say, let's praise God for the invisible network of heavenly citizenship that we can claim right now. Our scriptwriter and producer of this broadcast, David Smith, happens to be at this moment while we're recording at a religious retreat, a, quote, camp meeting being held near Lumberton, Mississippi. Now, he's never in his life been to the state of Mississippi before. He doesn't know a single person there. But listen, because he's traveling there to work for a week among fellow Christians, and in this case fellow members of his own Adventist church family, David reported back to me, "Lonnie, I'm instantly among friends." You know, it's that way when you carry heaven's passport, when you meet with fellow men and women who join you in confessing the name of Jesus Christ. Whether I've been in the Philippines or Brazil or Russia, whenever Jeannie and I travel, we have that feeling and it's wonderful. Well, the very first day that David was there in Mississippi, a man named C.L. Richardson came up to him. "Brother Smith, I'm glad to meet you," he said. "Welcome to Mississippi." And then he added, "I want you to come over to our tent this afternoon and enjoy some homemade ice cream with me and my family." Well, considering the heat and the summer humidity in the state of Mississippi, that was a pleasure. And David told me how delightfully amazed he was that so many people came by the tent that afternoon. They all had a good time, and they sure all had a bowl of ice cream, too. In fact, David probably had two bowls and came away reminded that the joy of being part of this global family, well, it just can't be measured in ice cream bowls or any other way. And maybe those bowls of ice cream do teach us a small lesson about how to act here on this earth, even in an unbeautiful America. Pledging allegiance to the flag is one thing on the 4th of July, folks, but how will you serve your country on the 5th of July? Ah, that's the question. You see, friend, the best citizens in heaven or here on earth are those who don't just talk. They do. They roll up their sleeves and do something tangible in service for that frail and faulty but still needy country. It's one thing to say, "Hey, welcome to Mississippi." But it's another to invite someone over and turn the crank on that homemade ice cream handle and share it with them, isn't it? We can salute the flag and sing America the Beautiful, but on the 5th of July, do we go down to the Boys and Girls Club and volunteer our services? Do we go out there and pick up trash along the highway? Do we take a plate of cookies over to the police station or wash blankets for the homeless people staying at our church? Yeah, someone once observed that just about the best way for a man to say, "I love you," to his wife is to actually say nothing and instead go into the kitchen and do the dishes for her. Action speaking louder than words and all that. I read in my Bible about some of the events in the last days of Jesus' life, that terrible Thursday night in Gethsemane, and then the worst Friday in human history, where Jesus stood in the judgment hall and was abused and beaten and mocked. In Herod's palace, this proud, wicked king asked him questions, mocking, sarcastic retorts. No answer. Nothing but kingly silence. The soldiers gathered around, pushing him, abusing him. "Hey, smart guy," they sneered. "King of the Jews, tell us, who just hit you?" No answer. They put a crown of thorns on his head. No answer. No complaint. But when it came time to die, Jesus lay himself down on the cross and submitted to it. He humbled himself, it says in Philippians chapter 2, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He died for people, friend, because they were potential citizens in his coming kingdom, even though at that moment they were undeserving people in an undeserving nation, one tiny speck on an undeserving planet. And friend, actions speak louder than words. And finally, when there were some words, you can read in Luke 23 what they were. Father, forgive these people, for they do not know what they are doing. That's an incredible example, isn't it? It tells us how to be citizens, how to value the concept of citizenship, and even more, it shows us what to do about an unbeautiful America. Friend, you sacrifice yourself. You give yourself. Not because Bill Clinton deserves it or because you have a wonderful mayor or a good city council. No, friend, you give of yourself because you follow the example of Jesus Christ. Let's set aside our sparklers and our picnic dinners for just a moment and join together as brothers and sisters for a word of prayer right now. Lord, this week, Canadians and Americans alike have been celebrating freedom. May it be true what we stamp upon our coins that in God we trust. May our people be noble and honest and loving and learn that as we live peaceably with one another, we model our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll bless every listener today, especially those who are alone and at home without family. But listening right now to this broadcast, help us to reach out today to someone right there near us in Jesus' loving name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lonnie, for that prayer. It certainly is my prayer, too, here on the birthday of our nation. Friend, we want to be a blessing in your life, especially as we together seek to be citizens of heaven's kingdom. That's why we want to send you sample lessons of our free Discover Bible course. Thousands have already been through it and loved every single moment, every topic. Why don't you join them right now? Here's our mailing address, Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for Discover. Our Canadian address, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7B4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. Again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. Now, here's Lonnie Malashenko.
Friend, here's our Friday title, Putting Away Our Megaphones. Should Christian activists be mad all the time as they campaign for a change down here? Be sure to join us. Until then, this is Lonnie Malashenko, together with Kenneth Richards, wishing you a happy holiday and reminding you that it's always true, friend. Yes, God loves you.
February 12, 1995, Philip Kramer was on his way to the Los Angeles airport to pick up a business associate. While on the road, he used his cellular phone, and that was the last time anyone talked with him. But it wasn't the end of Kramer's story. Kramer's sister Kathy has led a determined effort to find him. She quit her job and has spent over $20,000 looking for her brother. She hired a private investigator. The family has printed and distributed over 75,000 flyers. They've created a homepage on the Internet. Some months, Kathy's phone bill is over $700. Sometimes when a person is lost, that's the end of their story. But if the lost person has someone who loves them, the story is never really over until the lost is found. That's the way it is with Jesus and you. Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. Even if you've committed moral suicide, left your family, stole from the office, seduced your secretary, started drinking again, gotten yourself hooked on crack or heroin, no matter how thoroughly lost you've gotten yourself, your story isn't over. Someone loves you, and he's looking to bring you home. If you're lost, stop running and give him a call. For the Voice of Prophecy, this is John McLarty.